Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. Well, this week we wanted to make people aware of some of the new technologies and resources that are available for people with low vision or people that are in the process of losing their vision.
We'll speak with Jen Moore, the regional sales representative for upstate New York for C-Tech, which distributes many adaptive items. But first for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Jen Moore.
A lot of times I go into a home and, you know, I'm meeting with people and I ask questions that are sometimes not related to why I'm necessarily there. For example, yesterday I was in a home and the daughter, the adult daughter said, well, my mother was an avid reader up until about a year ago when she started significantly losing vision. And my first question was, are you connected to talking books? You know, and so my tip would be, make that phone call and find someone that can potentially get you to some of those services and see some of those things that are out there that are available, because the longer you wait, sometimes the harder it is to kind of get into and get adjusted to, like, looking at things that are large print. So that would probably be my tip is, you know, take some action as soon as you can. You know, at least start investigating what your options are, even if you don't decide on one. Find out what's out there and what might work for you.
Presumably, if you're listening to this show, you're already hooked in at least somewhat to sources of information for people with visual and other print impairments, but good for you, and keep it up, and look for all the sources you can find, because there's lots of resources out there. And if you haven't had visual issues or print access issues previously, you may not have had reason to know what all of these resources are.
And what a great tip that is, because it's really important to know the options that are available to you that are out there these days. I mean, not only has there been many improvements and advances in technology that provide a wealth of options, but even some of the low-tech options may be viable alternatives for you depending on what your needs are. And as Jen suggests, knowing what your lifestyle is, what your functions that you want to perform during the day or on the job are very important in determining which of those options that you'll select.
Let's start by meeting Jen Moore and learning about C-Tech.
This is Jen Moore. I work with C-Tech as a sales representative and consultant regarding adaptive technology.
Can you tell us a little bit about C-Tech?
Sure. C-Tech is a company that's been around for about 30 years, and they focus mostly on technology that's available for individuals with low vision or no vision and learning disabilities. So a lot of computer technology, enlargement, distance viewing for, again, people with visual impairments or learning disabilities.
So you don't have a visual impairment yourself. How did you get into this field?
Well, I actually quit teaching high school because I didn't like being a teacher, and I applied for a job as an adaptive technology instructor at the Association for the Blind. I was hired and within about 4 weeks was teaching JAWS on a Windows-based computer.
Cool.
Trial by fire, I guess. You just do it.
Right.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
This week's focus topic is some of the technology available to help people with low vision.
So I guess what we wanted to talk to you about today was some of the resources and technologies that you offer that people may want to know about who are in the process of losing their vision or have partial vision.
Sure. The first thing that I grabbed is a Candy 5 HD2 from Hims. I know that's a really long name. It's had many, many revisions over the years, but it's a portable digital magnifier. It's got a 5-inch screen. It's got buttons that allow us to increase and decrease magnification. It has a camera that can both, like, point down, or if we're looking at a shelf tag in a store or something, we can actually hold it up and read shelf tags or hold a 3-dimensional object underneath it, We can also reverse the camera and do some self-viewing with it.
So use it like a mirror.
Yep, you can turn it and actually see yourself with it.
I'm lovely.
So you're on camera. And you can make it larger and smaller when you do that just by pressing a button. You can zoom in and zoom out. If you're looking at text, we can actually view text, and we can change the color into a high contrast color if we want, and we can set it to a number of different colors like white on black or black on white or yellow on black and kind of reverse those color combinations if we'd like to. You also have full color as an option. So if you're looking at pictures or something three-dimensional, a lot of times you want full color.
So there's four major buttons on this thing. The red plus and the green minus are obviously to enlarge and decrease the magnification. Mm-hmm. And then the blue M and orange F?
Yep. The blue M is actually to allow you to change the colors, kind of the color mode on it. And then the F is for focus. This has a unique feature where you can actually have it autofocus, which most handhelds are consistently autofocus. But we can also set this one so that it will focus when we tell it to, or basically kind of set a consistent focal point. So if we know, like if someone has some hand tremors, maybe they can't hold something really still when they're looking at a shelf tag in a store, they can set that focal point to be maybe 3 inches or 4 inches away from the shelf. And as they move, it will come in and out of focus. What happens if it's truly autofocus is if they're moving, it's constantly trying to focus and then they struggle to use a handheld device. So this lets us kind of almost mimic that optical magnifier by saying we're going to be focused at a certain focal distance.
How large can you magnify the text with such a device? How big can you get it?
Well, there's a couple of different scenarios that we have with this particular unit. We can use it with or without a reading stand. On the reading stand, it starts at 2x and goes to 10x. If we're holding it and looking at something at a distance, like across a room, maybe 10 or 12 feet away, it's going to be a little bit different. We're not going to get quite that large, but people can oftentimes see like a clock across the room and maybe get the numbers to like a large print, you know, like a larger print wall clock enlarged so that they're about 2 inches high. And then if we use it when it's not on the reading stand, I would say it goes from about 4x to about 18x. There's also a handle on it that's really nice that you can adjust to use left-handed or right-handed. I happen to be left-handed, so I always notice that. And when you're holding it, you, like I said, you can hold it by your hand and actually view things at a distance across a room.
So this device sounds pretty versatile in terms of what it can do. You said it's portable, so you can hold it in your hand. You can obviously take it with you shopping and look at some of the products on the shelves. You talked about looking across a room, so you might be able to take it to a museum and have a better look at some of the exhibits. And on a stand, you can use it. You might be able to read a book that way.
Some people can use it to read a book. Some people don't do as well reading a book just because they like the larger screen. And there's other things out there with larger screens if people are going to consistently read books and magazines. But it all depends on their vision and their preference. Some people do read books with this. Like I said, it really depends on one's vision and really your kind of physical preference in terms of moving the device or if you want to move the document underneath a camera.
So there are lots of options there.
There are.
And you have other products to address some of those other needs.
I do.
And for people who don't know, the advantage of a device like this over a conventional handheld glass magnifying glass is that with the built-in electronics, you have a lot more flexibility in terms of the contrast levels, the amount of light that you see, the magnification you get, and some of the autofocus features. So the electronic aspect of a device like this has brought a lot of extra utility to a handheld magnifying device.
And the viewing screen is really fabulous. And this is a situation where a small market of people with visual issues has been able to benefit from the larger market of the general population who's getting into using more and more and more devices with screens so that the manufacturer, in this case Hims, is able to source a really high quality screen without having to charge the customer a huge amount of money. And the display on this device is very crisp, very clear. You can get whatever contrast level you want, all those different color modes, and the contrast is fabulous in any of them. So these are great devices. if you remember some of the earlier digital magnifiers and CCTV systems where the display on the screen maybe wasn't so clear, wasn't so crisp, didn't have so much contrast, these are so much better. Go out and look at the newer devices because you'll be really impressed.
So what else do you have to show us that people might make use of?
The next one that I was going to show is the eBot from Hims. It's also from Hims. It's a nice portable unit, which is why I brought it, because it's real easy to pack up. There's a few different versions of this. You can get one with speech and you can get one without speech. And then there's the eBot Pro, which is, actually has a taller camera and a motorized camera that does also come with speech. And when I say speech, I mean you can take the document below the camera and turn it into text that the unit will read out loud to you.
So it does optical character recognition.
It does.
Or you can read it with your eyes.
You can. You can actually connect this to an HDMI monitor. You can connect it to a laptop or a desktop computer. You can connect it to a computer that is Windows or Macintosh. You can connect it to an Android tablet wirelessly, and you can connect it to an iPad wirelessly.
Cool. So now, Pete had a CCTV, which would be kind of a generic term for this type of device, decades ago. Pete, you have got to see this thing.
This is basically the camera, and where your right hand is the camera. Yep.
Okay, yeah.
And if I turn it like this, it's now facing you or kind of facing away so we can see across a room.
So it swivels.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And we can turn it, you know, up and down so that we can look at something on the desktop or mm-hmm. something at a distance. And then the camera will also swivel left to right to look at a room. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's great in classroom usage. I have a lot of elementary and middle school and high school students that use this.
Right, right.
I also have a lot of older adults that really like this because it will connect to an HDMI monitor. And the really nice thing about this is it comes with a great case that you can carry as a backpack or a shoulder bag or a crossbody. It's got handles on it if you want to carry it by a handle, but it weighs about 13 pounds. And you don't have to take a monitor with you. So if you're going somewhere where there's going to be like a television that you can plug into, you just have to take the unit itself. I have a lot of people who will travel. If they're going to be in a hotel room, chances are there's a television that they can connect it to. It might be bigger than what they would use at home, but most people say to me, you know what, that means I can have something I can carry with me. It's small. I can use it. I'll deal with the big monitor when I'm traveling.
So how much does the unit weigh without the monitor?
Without the monitor is the 12 or 13 pounds. And it depends on which version you get. The Pro is like 12 pounds, I believe. And then this one, which is a little bit smaller, is, I believe, 9.5 pounds.
So the camera itself is pretty small and light. What does the rest of the weight entail?
The rest of the weight is a couple of places. One, it has a base that holds the camera up. So the base has to be weighted so that it's not top heavy. And then the unit itself has a rechargeable battery. So when you're using this and traveling, you don't have to worry about plugging in all the time. I know people will say to me, I'm just going to make sure it's charged before I leave the house because we're driving to Florida. We're going to stay in a few hotels and chances are it will make it all the way to our place in Florida without me having to plug it in and charge it. It also has a rechargeable battery that's removable. So we all know that batteries carry a little weight with them, but it is user replaceable. So if you have this unit and it eventually, as with any rechargeable battery, there will come a point in time where they stop charging. You just pull up on a little latch, pull it out, get a new one, pop it in, and you're good to go. And it will always work, even if the battery, after so many years, batteries don't hold a charge, it'll still work if it's plugged in.
So you said this will not only magnify the text in a book or magazine or whatever you put underneath, but it will also read the text if you want it to. Can you give us a demonstration of that?
It will.
And it's really quiet. You know, back in the day, some of these things had noisy fans.
I remember those days, and every once in a while, I still come across one of those, and I'm always amazed at the amount of noise that they made. So like I mentioned, you can connect this wirelessly to an iPad. You can connect it wirelessly to an Android tablet. To a computer, if it's a Wi-Fi compatible computer, you can connect it wirelessly or you can connect it with a USB 3 cable. So you have a lot of flexibility. And a lot of my students, if they're using it all day long, they'll choose to use the USB 3 cable because it just takes a lot less out of the battery. So I'm just connecting it to the eBot is basically has a wireless router in it that sends a signal that I can pick up on a computer. And that's how we would connect via Android tablet or iPad. a number of the schools like this as well, because they can put the camera like on a table off to the side somewhere so it's not in a student's view and still have it wirelessly connected to the student's iPad or tablet, great. Which is really kind of nice because then it doesn't sort of obstruct their view. It doesn't take up their workspace. Mm-hmm. So I've had a couple of teachers who, this happened in science classes, they loved that they were able to take the unit, and if they were doing a demonstration, they were able to literally bring the camera right up to the front where they were doing the demonstration and point it right at, you know, whatever demonstration they were doing so that the student was able to really kind of see it nicely.
Wow, that's great.
So if you're going to use this on a computer, there's software that you download, and it's, you just download it right from HIMSS's website. So I could download it to 20 computers if I wanted to. You know, super, it's not like you have to pay tons of money, and any of us can get that software. And then you get a screen that comes up that says Wi-Fi, and you just click on the little Wi-Fi link.
So I'm going to grab some pseudo-random document from over here. So what I found was an article from In Good Health, a local healthcare information newspaper from about 4 years ago.
Oh, excellent.
It's about our show.
Oh.
Hence, pseudo-random.
Welcome to Windows. My computer just shut down.
Oh,
oh,
great.
Oh.
Thankfully, it did not say installing updates, because that could be the death of us, right?
Oh,
I did that once. I was like, oh, great.
Well, unfortunately, one of the drawbacks of doing a live demo is sometimes your computer crashes, and I guess we're not going to be able to recover at this time, but if people want to hear a live demo, we'll give you contact information at the end where you can contact Jen or HIMSS or a representative of another assistive devices company to hear what the voice actually sounds like. But it's a very clear, natural-sounding voice.
CTEC is basically a distributor for a bunch of adaptive technology. What companies do you represent?
Well, we work obviously with HIMSS. We work with Optilec, Baum, Alva. There's so many. Eschenbach. We work with TextHelp, which is Read-Write-Go. AI Squared, which is, of course, you know, they work with GW Micro now with Window Eyes, so it's both. We do work with Kurzweil. We work with the Dragon. We work with Freedom Scientific products called Win, and probably a couple of other companies that just aren't popping into my head right now.
So maybe not everybody has heard of all those companies, but maybe you can just tell us what other types of products that these companies represent. You've showed us today some of the products for low vision people, but there's a range of products that you do distribute.
Absolutely. Some of the companies that we work with, so for example, Alva. A lot of what we do with Alva is braille displays. HumanWare has braille displays, braille note-taking devices, and CCTVs. HIMSS, we've looked at a couple of low vision devices. They also have braille displays and note takers. And they have a great new little product called the Blaze EZ and the Blaze ET, which are book readers, music players, but they also will do text-to-speech or optical character recognition.
Yeah, we just did a show on that. I believe it's number 1527.
And the Blaze ET is the new version, and one of the great things about it is it has a color identifier that comes with it, which you guys already know. And for like our college students or people that are doing large books, it's got the batch scanning, and you know, that's going to be fantastic for our students. Working with companies like Optilec, they have CCTVs, so oftentimes bigger units. Some of them are smaller, some of them are portable, handheld, some of them are desktop. But they also have a great CCTV that has a touch screen and will actually do text-to-speech, so you can actually read a document visually while it's being read to you out loud if you prefer. They also have standalone desktop-type devices that you can put a document under, press a button, and have them read to you. We work with iSyst, and they make iZoom and the Read Desk. And I like the Read Desk as a cute little, small little, weighs about 1.2 pounds. It's a camera, comes with its own software, and it does text-to-speech. It's really nice for students. A lot of people that I work with that are in like business meetings like that, they can connect it to their laptop and literally scan something, and within about a second of taking a picture, it's reading to them out loud. There are programs like from TextHelp. They have a program that actually does things like word prediction, and that's great for like someone maybe with limited English proficiency, whether it's you know, English or disability related. So it really can be helpful in the classroom, the college setting, in terms of, increasing writing skills.
So these products span a whole range of capabilities, and it sounds like you have a device for almost anything that someone may need, and lots of flexibility and choices in terms of what they might select.
Generally, yes. So if somebody calls me and they say, I'm interested in reading, I need something to make things bigger, I usually have a lot of questions because I want to make sure that we're looking at the devices that are most suited, not just to their vision, but to their lifestyle. So, someone says to me, I want something, that I can put on my desk that I can read. The big monitor is best for me. I want to know, do you travel? Do we want to look at something that can go with you? Because we do have a couple that literally fold up into essentially a briefcase that you could take with you easily on a plane that weigh, in the case itself, they weigh between, I think, 12 and 14 pounds.
So that's very important, accommodating someone's lifestyle. And speaking of lifestyle, many visually impaired people, of course, aren't quite as mobile as if they were sighted. They don't drive around at all. And one of the unique things about this interview is that it's actually taking place at our house. You came to us. And I take it that happens in general if someone wants to see one of these devices, because you're not going to find them at your local Kmart or something like that.
Absolutely. I don't want anyone to call me and say, I want this device. If they've seen it, that's one thing, and they know that they need it. But if someone is, especially if someone's new to the low vision field and the devices that are out there, we want to make sure that they're able to use them. So for example, one of the most common things that people use are CCTVs. I need to know if they have any kind of like shoulder or back injuries, because there are different models that put the controls either at your fingertips on the like more on the desktop, or they also connect them to the monitor, so people have to reach up. And if someone has a shoulder injury, reaching up for those controls all the time may be really difficult. Or if somebody is really mobile, they're all over their house. I had a gentleman once who he wanted to be able to continue working in his wood shop. So we actually looked at a multi-view for him because it has a camera that is flexible and it moves side to side and left to right. It will do self-viewing and distance viewing, and it will also look down at things on the desktop. And when we looked at it, it worked great, and I said the only thing we have to do is make sure that we protect that monitor, because we don't want wood chips flying and hitting it, because eventually it's going to ruin the flat screen. And so we got a piece of plexiglass and basically put super strong Velcro on it so that it would protect it from being hit by anything in the wood shop.
Jen's tip was basically that as soon as you realize that you're going to need access to adaptive technology, that you start finding out about what services and resources are available to you. And I think what she just said here is such a great explanation of why, in particular, it's a great idea to connect with one of these distributorships, where she represents a large number of companies. If you're looking for a device like a Braille display or a handheld digital magnifier, there are lots of different companies that make that variety of device, but each device is going to be a little bit different. And if you can talk to somebody like Jen in your area, and get that person who's knowledgeable about the various choices to help match the right choice to you, that's great.
So there's no need to buy these sight unseen. Get a demo in your own environment or home.
Now for this week's final item, how to get more information about various products that are available for people with low vision, no vision, dyslexia, or other learning or print impairments.
So if people think they're ready for using such a device or have a need for one of these devices, where would they go to find out some more information?
Well, they can certainly give me a call. They can call me or email me directly. They can call the main office to our number. There are, low vision agencies around the area that you can go to see some of these devices. Really, it comes down to figuring out what's going to work best for the person. And usually you want to explore a number of different products that are out there and available.
Can you provide some of those phone numbers?
Sure. What's your viewing area?
The world.
We have listeners throughout the planet. We stopped checking the IP addresses when we got past 100 different countries.
anyone can certainly give me a call. You can call my cell phone. It's 585-208-7115. I answer it during normal business hours and even outside of those hours, just not at 2 o'clock in the morning. Someone could email me if they're more comfortable with that. And my email address is Jennifer, J-E-N-N-I-F-E-R, .DMOHR@gmail.com. So anyone's welcome to do that. If people are outside of New York State, and I cover most of New York State, not New York City or Long Island typically, but I cover the rest of New York State. But if there are people outside of New York State, they're certainly welcome to contact me because I can certainly get them in touch with the vendors in the other states. You know, we have a list of dealers that we certainly work with, and I can refer them to people in their area. But I'm also happy to kind of field questions. I mean, just the other day, I spoke to someone from Manitoba. It's kind of random that she got my number. And so we talked about a lot of different options, and I actually referred her to some services up in Canada. And then I spoke with someone in Baltimore, Maryland, just the other day as well, that was interested in the Blaze. And it was a very roundabout way that she got my number, but I was happy to talk with her and give her the information. And then I got her the contact information so she could see a demonstration where she is.
Does CTEC have a presence outside of the U.S. and Canada?
Generally, no. We're just the U.S., and really our two states are New Jersey and New York.
Oh, interesting. That localized.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But I assume there are similar types of distributors in other parts of the country and other parts of the world.
Yeah, generally every company that we work with has a distributor in all of the other states. I mean, every once in a while we'll run into a state where maybe there isn't a distributor, but that's pretty rare that happens.
That's because there aren't any people in Montana.
I've had calls from Montana because they couldn't access anything there. I actually had calls from Montana and Wyoming.
Yeah, both blind people.
I have a friend in Alaska who asks me questions all the time because her mother-in-law and her brother-in-law both have significant visual impairments.
So if you'd like an up-close and personal demo of any of these products, just give Jen a call and let her know where you heard about some of these products and herself. And if you missed any of that contact information in the audio, you just go to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net, look for the show notes for this episode, and all of that contact information and important links will be in the show notes.
That's it for show number 1533. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about Ski for Light. Cross-country skiing is a fun and active sport that will keep you in shape and can also be a great way of connecting with other people. We'll speak with Scott McCall, president of Ski for Light, about tips and tricks used to make skiing a safe and accessible sport for the blind. Learn how you can join in, starting with this winter's upcoming Ski Week in Michigan. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. Browse the full archive of programs, find instructions for subscribing to the podcasts, and much more at www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also find us on iTunes, follow us on Facebook and on audioboom.com, at Eyes on Success, or Twitter at @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success and have a nice day.